Psalm chapter 88, please. And we'll begin at verse 1. O Lord, God of my salvation, I have cried out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry, for my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to the grave. I am counted with those who go down to the pit. I am like a man who has no strength, adrift among the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, and who are cut off from your hand. You have laid me in the lowest pit, in the darkness, in the depths. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you have afflicted me with all your waves. You have put away my acquaintances far from me. You have made me an abomination to them. I am shut up, and I cannot get out. My eye wastes away because of affliction. Lord, I have called upon you daily. I have stretched out my hands to you. Will you work your wonders for the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise you? Shall your loving kindness be declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in the place of destruction? Shall your wonders be known in the dark, and your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But to you I have cried out, O Lord, and in the morning my prayer comes before you. Lord, why do you cast off my soul? Why do you hide your face from me? I have been afflicted and ready to die from my youth. I suffer your terrors. I am distraught. Your fierce wrath has gone over me. Your terrors have cut me off. They came around me all day long like water. They engulfed me altogether. Loved one and friend you have put far from me, and my acquaintances into darkness. Father, we come before you this morning with our hearts filled with thankfulness and with praise on our lips. Father, show us this morning how to respond when we feel like you are far away from us. Show us how to respond, Lord, when we are disappointed by life circumstances, when things are not going the way that we would have wanted things to go. Help us always to remember to cling to you, Lord. Show us these things this morning and strengthen us, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Don't worry if that psalm seemed a little bleak to you. We're not going to be having a bleak sermon. This, I do pray, will be an uplifting and encouraging message. If you've been kind of paying attention to our services here over the last, I'm going to say 6, maybe 8 weeks, you'll notice that literally every one of our pastors has been up here to share a word with you over the last 6 or 8 weeks. Pastor John was scheduled to share today, but he is staying at home to minister to his wife who is under the weather. So consequently, you're stuck with me today, but we're going to make the best of it. We're going to jump right in. So find Malachi in your Bible, Malachi chapter 3. It's very easy to find. If you can find the book of Matthew, just turn to the left. It's the last book before you get to Matthew. So we're going to be in Malachi chapter 3. Now we're going to start at verse 13. And where we're starting, this is God speaking. And in verse 13, he says, "Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? And God says, you have said it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts?" Life can deeply disappoint us at times. God's word doesn't shy away from this, so why should we? Here in 2020, with everything that we see going on around us, let's be honest. All of us probably have or probably will experience disappointment with God. Sometimes he doesn't live up to our expectations. a prayer didn't get answered the way we wanted or when we wanted. A healing didn't occur. A job was lost. A relationship might have gone sour. A house might have been lost. Maybe you tried to minister to someone and they reject the message of salvation. Maybe you've even lost a loved one. Imagine for a moment that you are a parent of a young adult who has abandoned his or her faith in Jesus Christ. Every night you get down on your knees and beg God to bring your child back to himself. You pray day in and day out, week after week, month after month, but yet nothing changes. That's when your faith really gets tested, because you've done all you can do to raise up your child in the way that he or she should go, trusting that the Lord would continue to keep your child in his hand. But when you don't see any progress, you find yourself on the horns of a dilemma. We know that God is love, but my child hasn't come back to God. So maybe God isn't powerful. But the Bible tells me that God is powerful. But my child hasn't come back to him, so maybe God isn't love. Now, no one wants to stand up in a prayer meeting and confess that God has let them down. We want to say the right thing. We want to say the spiritual thing, the religious thing, the thing that makes others applaud and say, "Amen, brother." But the dilemma gets even more complicated when we consider the fact that some people who pray receive their request like instantaneously. So what does that say? Does God play favorites? When we compare lives, it seems hard to believe that the God of the universe loves each of us with the same degree of fiery, passionate love. And if we don't believe that he loves us all equally, then we struggle to trust him at all. If you happen to find yourself in a season of profound disappointment today, the enemy of your soul would have you to believe the lie that God is not listening to you and that God does not care about you. Satan would point to your heart-wrenching circumstances, and he would say to you, "See, there's the proof. I've been telling you all along he doesn't listen to you, he doesn't love you, he doesn't care about you." But your Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who loved you and gave his life for you, he would say that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his promise. And Jesus would also say, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." As hard as this may be to believe, whatever you're going through, no matter how dire, no matter how hopeless, it's all part of God's plan. So hold your place here hold your place here in Malachi, and turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Now, this is something that has been on my heart. The staff are kind of aware of this because we have our weekly staff meetings, and before the business aspect of the staff meeting, we kind of have a little bit of a devotional, some time of prayer and working some issues out spiritually. And they kind of know that some of the things that the people in our body are up against right now, there's very real spiritual struggles. The rest of the world is trying to deal with a health crisis, while the church needs to also acknowledge that there is a spiritual crisis. People are in spiritual need. People need encouragement. People need spiritual healing. So here in James chapter 1, let's start at verse 2. James writes, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Now here's what's good about this. Paul reinforces this in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, where he writes, "Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope." So you feel like you've lost hope because of things that are happening around you. You feel like you have lost hope because things are not going the way you would have wanted them to go. Well, I want you to see what Scripture says. Scripture says that character is being developed in you through these trials. Patience is being developed in you through these trials. And through patience and through the development of character, your hope will increase. So no matter how hopeless you have begun to feel, don't let go. The Word of God calls us to do something that by nature is extremely difficult, if not impossible. We're called to face the trials of life with joy. And this joy comes through the knowledge that the trials we face will help us to develop endurance and strengthen our Christian character. We should say to ourselves, God has allowed this trial to come to me. He has some kind of good purpose in it for me. I don't know what that purpose is, but I'll try to find out. I want his purposes to be worked out in my life. And this is what James advocates when he says, "Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Don't rebel against God. Don't shake your fist at God. But on the other hand, don't collapse. Don't faint. Don't give up. Instead, rejoice. The problems that we face are not enemies that are sent to destroy us. They are allies that have come to aid you in developing Christian character. So let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now, when I see those two words, lacking nothing, my mind immediately jumps to Psalm 23:1, where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That's not saying, I don't want Jesus as my shepherd. What that is saying is that because Jesus is my shepherd, I have everything I need. I lack nothing. Now, everything in this psalm, everything in Psalm 23 hinges on that word, my. Yes, his saving work is sufficient for all, but it's only effective for those who actually believe in him. And since he really is mine, and I really am his, then I shall lack nothing. I have everything I need. As one of his sheep, I can lie down in green pastures because he has made me to know his peace. Have you thought about what that means? For a sheep to lie down in green pastures. Sheep are skittish. They're afraid of everything. There are so many predators out there that want to take that sheep and destroy it, rip it to shreds. And a sheep is utterly defenseless. They have no way of defending themselves against a wolf, against even a fox or a wild dog. But as one of the Lord's sheep, with him as my shepherd, he protects me. He has sent away all that would cause me peril, all that would seek to destroy me. He gives me peace to where I am content enough to lie down and relax and be comfortable in what he provides for me. Proverbs 1:33, It says, whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Turn now to Exodus chapter 14. And let's remind ourselves of God's power and ability to bring us through unimaginable adversity. At this point in the book of Exodus, you're turning to chapter 14. At this point in the book of Exodus, the Israelites have cried out to the Lord to deliver them from their oppressors in Egypt. And God saw the oppression of his people and he heard their cry. And in response, he raised up Moses to lead them out of Egypt. But Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, out of the hardness of his heart, he refused to let the Israelites leave. And you know the story. 10 plagues followed, and eventually Pharaoh, realizing that he can't win, he begrudgingly conceded and let them leave. But after the Israelites actually left Egypt, Pharaoh, again, out of the hardness of his heart, decided to pursue the Israelites, and he cornered them at the shore of the Red Sea. So the Israelites were very afraid, and they cried out to the Lord. But in their fear, they became angry and disappointed. And in their anger and disappointment, they turned against Moses. Instead of thanking the Lord for bringing them out of Egypt, they blamed Moses and said that it was his fault that the Egyptian army was pursuing them. Now we'll pick up in chapter 14 at verse 11. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt so with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Now, if we're not careful, this is where we can find ourselves when things don't go the way that we expected. We can say things to ourselves like, God, I believed everything you said. I did everything you told me. I even followed where you led. And now suddenly all these bad things are happening to me. Why, God? Why? This isn't what I signed up for. I quit. We have to remember, our expectations don't always line up with God's expectations. God's word tells us that his ways are higher than our ways. Have you ever heard the expression, there's a fine line between love and hate? There's also a fine line between belief and unbelief. In this life, we will surely experience a range of positive emotions and so-called negative emotions. We can't avoid feeling disappointed at times. But God's word tells us, do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We can't avoid feeling angry at times, but God's word tells us, be angry and do not sin. In such circumstances, when we sin, we rebel against the Lord in anger. And we refuse to believe that he is with us. Instead of lashing out against the Lord and saying, this is all your fault, and you weren't there for me, we should cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, I know you're here with me, but I confess that I can't see you. Open my eyes that I might see. Give me ears that I might hear your voice. Let me find your hand with my hand. Help me, Lord. Continuing in verse 13, and I love this part. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall not see again I'm sorry, I read that wrong. You shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Is that awesome? Do you see how stunning our God is? In the face of whatever adversity we have, we can trust Him to deal with it for us. Maybe not in the way that we would expect. A close reading of the chapter before this, chapter 13, you'll see that as God is leading the Israelites out of Egypt, He actually even says, I'm not taking you the easy route. I'm not taking you the short route. We're going to go the long way around, right? They could have gone a more direct route. But instead, God sends them a long way around. God knew He was leading them to the shores of the Red Sea. God knew the Egyptian army was going to be following them. None of this came as a surprise to God, but it came as a surprise to the Israelites. The Israelites had been enslaved for over 400 years in Egypt, and now they finally get out, and they're like, woohoo, everything's going to be great now. But nope. Before they can even finish celebrating their enthusiasm, they look and they see the army behind them and the ocean before them. What are they going to do? Verse 15, and the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Moses' responsibility right there was to point the people to Christ, to get the people to keep moving forward despite the circumstances that are before them. Now they see no way forward. There's an ocean there. What are they supposed to do? Today and every day, alongside with every pastor at this church, I'm trying to follow the example that was set by Moses and the example that was set by Samuel and Elijah and Elisha and Isaiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and John the Baptist and so many other men sent by the Lord. I'm trying to turn your attention to Christ. Don't worry about whatever the circumstances are that look like they're impossible. The things that are impossible with men are possible with God. I'm trying to get you to focus on Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who loved you and gave His life for you, who rose from the grave and gave you peace, and whose Holy Spirit dwells within you. No matter what your situation, don't be afraid. It's not your fight. It's God's. He will fight for you. Sound like Larry H. Parker, right? There's absolutely no question that God will prevail. Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, the victory that He will give you. Watch in astonishment, the same way the Israelites did, while He parts the waters before your eyes and shows you the way out of your distresses, the way forward. For the hardship that you see today, the fear that you see, the anger that you see, the disappointment that you see, you shall see again no more forever. But only if you focus your attention on Him and keep moving forward by faith. Don't reject Him. Don't turn away from Him. In Isaiah 41, verses 9 and 10, God says, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest regions and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Your Father in heaven personally loves you and personally cares about you. He assures you of his presence, his relationship, his sustaining power, and he promises to help you. But you have to allow him to help you. When Scripture uses the image of God's right hand, it's meant to be a picture of the pinnacle of strength and stability. In passages that specify God's right hand, strength is a key focus. When he extends his righteous right hand to you, you have to take hold of his hand and fully trust in him. You have to trust him to be your strength. Don't try to be strong on your own. It can begin with a simple prayer. Dear God, help me to believe in you. Or Lord, help my unbelief. Suppress my doubt, Lord. Ease my uncertainties. Send away my fears. God is enthusiastic when people make these types of decisions of faith, whether it's your first timid cry for salvation or whether it's the ongoing steps of obedience in the battle against the enemy. The Lord will strengthen you and give a greater fullness of faith so that it becomes easier and easier for you to choose the way of obedience of faith. So yes, times are tough. Your faith seems like it's waning, but use that last little grain of sand of faith and hang on to the Lord. Jesus describes it as a mustard seed of faith. Hang on to the Lord. Even when you're not faithful, he is faithful. He will not let go of you. He promises to help you. But will you let him help you? In our moments of despair or disappointment, and anger, it's the things that we're seeing all around us that cause us to become angry and disappointed. It's in those moments that we would do well to stop and remember what God is really like. He is gracious. He hears and responds to our cries when we are oppressed. He is merciful and compassionate. He is slow to anger. He is so patient with us. He is abounding in steadfast love, and he has pledged and committed his undying and unwavering love to us. So we have to have a firm grasp on the characteristics of God. He is good, and he wants good for us. Even when bad things happen, we can trust that in his sovereignty, that he can and will bring good out of every tragedy. Now, so far today, we have focused on how to respond when we are the ones going through a crisis of faith. Now, let's see what our response should be if someone among us goes through a crisis of faith. So find your place in Malachi chapter 3 once again, and we'll continue in verse 16. Verse 16 says, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them." So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. We are to come together, speak to one another, and encourage each other in the Lord. When God's people speak to one another in this way, the Lord listens from heaven. He loves to see true fellowship and love among his people. Now, when this passage is talking about speaking to one another, it's not talking about getting together and sharing a recipe for green bean casserole, right? This is talking about coming alongside one another, encouraging one another, edifying one another, strengthening one another, keeping one another focused on Jesus Christ. If you know or think that someone is going through a crisis of faith, begin praying for them. But don't just pray for them, pray with them. And encourage them to remain in fellowship. When someone is going through a crisis of faith, it's very easy for them to want to let go. It's very easy for them to say, "No disrespect, brother, but I don't believe in your God anymore." That's why I'm calling it a crisis of faith. Help them. Encourage them. Let them know that you are still there for them as a friend and as a brother or sister in Christ. They may feel weak, but by God's grace, you are the one right now who has the strength for them. Let God use you to hold on to that person that they would not turn away. Now, prayer, especially corporate prayer, is a power tool. It's a power tool that the Lord has given to each of us for the work of building up others in the body of Christ when they are in despair. And if you don't think people are in despair in our fellowship right now, you're not aware of human condition. We get prayer requests. I'm thankful for the prayer chain. I'm thankful for our prayer request button on Connect. When people use that, we do pray over those things. When people use the prayer chain, there are prayer warriors who fall down and pray over those requests fervently. But sometimes, instead of being apart praying, we need to find a way to get together and pray. Because the person needs to feel and see that they are being prayed for. Don't forget that the Bible says that when Peter was in prison, constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. The church, right? It doesn't say that constant prayer was offered by one brother or by one sister. It says by the church. It also says that they kept on praying right up until Peter was freed from prison by an angel and came up to the house where they were gathered together praying. So pray for someone and keep praying for them. This is what that verse is talking about, coming together. Coming together to pray for someone who has a real need and is in real jeopardy. Get together with someone, even if it's only on Zoom or over the telephone, and pray for someone who's imprisoned in fear or unbelief. And keep praying for them until their faith in God is restored and they're released from their prison cell. Now, why is it so important for us to come together and pray for a brother or sister who's in crisis? Glad you ask. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And believe it or not, this is where we're going to begin to bring today's message to its conclusion. So Ephesians chapter 4. Beginning at verse 1, Paul writes, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now, I can do an entire message on these verses alone. But I'm really trying to get better about keeping my messages short. But let me quickly point out, in verses 4, 5, and 6, you will see the word one occurs 7 different times. Let me encourage you to go home and study these verses after we're finished here today and find out for yourself why that word one is repeated 7 separate times. But the point that I want us to see for today is unity. In verse 3, circle, highlight, or underline the word keep. Keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We are one body, one church, with many different parts. And we are united by the Holy Spirit of God. We are to maintain that unity. When one of us is hurting, it affects the rest of us. If you've ever stubbed your toe against a table, then you know what I mean. Only your toe was hurt, but somehow your whole body reacted. And for a moment, you couldn't even walk. It's the same if you've ever banged your funny bone. There certainly wasn't anything funny about it at that moment. So support someone during their faith crisis. Again, I'm thankful that at our church, we rally together to help someone in our fellowship when they're facing a trial. Most often it's for us in our fellowship, most often it's been a health issue or a medical procedure, but nevertheless, we help. Sometimes we help by signing up for a meal train to take a nice warm meal to them, to say hello, to give a nice friendly smile, and to pray with them for a moment, right? But always, we help by prayer and supplication. That's why we have our prayer chain. That's why we have our prayer request button on the Connect app. But why should we stop there? Why don't we pick up the phone sometimes and just call and shoot the breeze with them every now and then? Not trying to change them, right? Not trying to change their mind or rush them into anything. Not trying to talk them out of their feelings or talk them out of their confusion, but just to listen to them. Sometimes just letting yourself be available to listen can be all the encouragement that that person needs. Don't feel like you always have to have the answers for them. Let them question God without feeling like you are the one who has to give them answers. Read the book of Job. Job was going through all kinds of turmoil, and his friends just felt like they had to keep shooting answers at him and shooting answers, but they never helped him. At one point, they even aggravated and compounded his frustration. So sometimes just make yourself available to listen. Be patient. Another thing that we can do, invite them to be part of your small group. Again, we don't want them to turn and walk away from fellowship. During their crisis of faith, they need to lean in more to Jesus Christ. Their natural inclination is going to be to run. So do what you can. Invite them to your small group. Encourage them to become involved of one of the many Bible studies that our church has throughout the week. And don't be hurt when they don't want to pray or go to church with you. Instead, give them the space to work it through. every wholesome activity that takes their mind off of their situation and reminds them that they are essential to the body of Christ can help them. It can help them to remember who God is. It can help them to remember what God can do. And it can help them to remember to allow God to keep working in them. So I know that some of us are in spiritual pain right now. I know some of us have our doubts about our faith. I know some of us question God's ability. Some of us question God's purposes. I am aware of people in our fellowship who are sick. I am aware of people in our fellowship who have lost their jobs, who have lost their homes. I am aware of people in our fellowship who are in real danger of losing their faith. I don't want that to happen to any of us. And I'm not just standing here giving you verses out of the Bible. I'm standing here by God's grace today as one who did lose his faith in the Lord. You've heard me say this before, a lot of you I know, but there was a time in my life when I felt like everything that I learned in the Bible, because I grew up in the Word, and I got to a point where I felt like everything I learned in the Bible was a lie. I felt like it wasn't real. I felt like God didn't care about me. To be honest with you, I even remember thinking in my mind that the world is just like a cosmic fishbowl, and God just likes to thump the glass once every now and then to make you flinch. And he gets a kick out of that. That was how jaded I had become. But even though I was jaded and I had lost my faith, God can never lose faith in himself. He is always faithful to himself. He called you before he created the world. He will see you through. He called me before he created the world. He saw me through. When I could not see him, he never took his eyes off of me. When I could not hear him, he was waiting to hear me cry out to him. When I could not touch him, it was because my hands were behind my back. His hand is extended. His righteous right hand was extended. By God's grace and by his mercy, he reached me. He touched me. He had me extend my hand and search for him in my darkness, and I felt his touch and took his hand. Might I remind you, that righteous right hand that he extends to us has a nail hole in it that each of us put. I drove that nail in his hand. You drove that nail in his hand. He died for your sins. So cling to God, no matter how deep your despair. Cling to God. Most Christians will experience times of disappointment, anger, and doubt, which will test their faith. Even Moses and Elijah and Jeremiah, mighty men, mighty faith heroes of the Bible, each of them reached a point in their walk where they were like, I've had enough. End my miserable life, Lord. Let me die. John the Baptist, Peter, and others throughout Christian history experienced their own crises of faith. In each situation, God's purpose prevailed. Even though these godly men initially couldn't see what his purpose was at the time. I'm not one of the mighty heroes of the Bible, but I am a man of faith now by God. Remember, faith is a gift from God. The faith that has me standing here before you now, God gave me that faith. God used my trial, my tribulation, to be able to stand here today and encourage you in your trial and in your tribulation. And He'll do the same with you. You feel weak now? Draw strength from Him. And then He will use you to help someone else down the road, to encourage someone else down the road. Remember God's character and His promises. He is a God of unlimited power who consistently says that He will rescue His people. God is very clear. He's bigger than whatever it is we're facing anytime we're facing it. And there is nothing, nothing that can take us away from Him. But He won't always prevent hardship from coming our way. In fact, Jesus said that we will experience difficulty. But one day, He will set all things right. Now, we have to remember both sides of that equation. We have to remember that God is unlimited in His power. And we have to remember that Jesus said we will face hardship. If we don't remember both sides of this equation, that's how we end up disappointed, believing that God is either too weak to help us or doesn't care enough to help us. Working your way through a crisis of faith involves one choice at a time, one moment after another. Lord, I choose to believe You in this moment. I choose to look to You rather than the high water that's coming up around me. I choose to cry out to You. But I want to be clear, because again, I've been there. I'm not trying to make light of any problem that you're facing. It's not easy. It isn't clean. It isn't simple. But it's times like these, the tribulations that you're in right now, the sadness that you're feeling, the hopelessness that you're feeling, the despair that you're feeling. It's times like these when your faith is actually growing. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Father, thank You for Your promise to help us. Thank You for Your plan of redemption and the way that You work to increase our faith. Lord, together with my brothers and sisters in Christ this morning, I pray for those who are going through despair, for those who are experiencing a lack of faith. I pray, Lord, that You would strengthen them, lift them up out of the pit, set their feet on the rock, help them to remember who You are, Lord. I pray, Father, that today You have used this message to remind them of Your power, of Your ability, of Your desire to help them. I pray, Father, that You would hang on to those who have let go of You, those whom You have called before the foundation of the world. Don't let go of them, Lord. We know that You are faithful, but show them that You are faithful. Reveal Yourself to them in powerful and mighty ways that they would not be expecting. Fill them once again with hope. Fill them once again with joy and give them peace. And restore their faith, Lord, that they would resume their walk with You by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So thank you for being here with us today. Thank you for tuning in on the internet as well. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. God bless you.
Never fails me, and all my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, and I will sing in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, and I will sing in the goodness of God. Through the fire in darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. Been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, and I will sing in the goodness of God.
Let's sing that again.
And all my life you have been faithful. So, so good. With every breath that I am able, and I will sing in the goodness of God.
Let's all stand together as we sing your goodness.
And your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. And your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down and surrender now, I give you everything. And your goodness is running after, it's running after me. And your goodness is running after, it's running after me. You have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, and I will sing of the goodness of God.
One more time.
I will sing in the goodness of God, and I will sing of the goodness of God.
God bless you guys. We'll see you here on Wednesday.